your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're exploring this very sometimes controversial topic about mystic experience, not just mystic experience within Reiki, but in life, human life in general. And in these last interviews, we've really been exploring different ways of coming into mystic experience. Some people seem to be born mystics, and in fact, that was the way, what they were looking for when they came into Reiki. They were looking for a way to establish more firm contact with this part of themselves that they would consider to be mystic. For other people, it's been a nice surprise that this arena of human experience opened up. And for others, you know, there's a question mark about whether or not this is, quote, real. And yet, in our experience of Reiki, there is also this question, what is a mystic experience? Is it something that is spiritual? Is it something that is doesn't really have to do with religion or psychology or a psychic phenomena, but is something much different than that? And how does one know whether or not it's our fantasy that happens, something that has been generated by our own psyche, or is it something that has actually occurred because there is this special moment where all these elements of quality of being come into existence? In the beginning, Kristen Bonney defined the word mystic from the Greek as being silence, that there is this deep silence within us, and within that place, something emerges that is beyond our understanding, beyond our knowing, and it is at the same time a part of who we are as human beings. Some people say that it comes out of religious experience, and some people say that it comes out of, you know, who we are as our psyche. So in this exploration of mystic experience, I've wanted to come to a place where there are many people in the world whose religion is involved in inducing mystic experience, whether this is by dancing and chanting as the Sufi order does it. And this is a vast generalization, so I don't want to offend any Sufis who take a contrary verbalization to what I just said. But it is my experience in my own being with the Sufi circle. And then there are other people who have a way of inducing mystic experience by a kind of meditation, or even by taking internally substances that induce a kind of different mental realm. And I don't know if mental is quite the right word. We'll ask Vicky. I've invited Vicky Allen to participate with us today in this program, and part of it is because I just thought that she would be able to add to our exploration of mystic experience through her own experience as a Reiki master and also as a Gestalt therapist. But in addition to that, she's made some beautiful journeys with Peruvian shamans that I would like to explore with her today. So welcome, Vicky, to the show.
Thanks for having me, Phyllis.
And I'm glad. Vicki and I have had a long conversation about her participating, and I'm glad that we have come to an agreement about this. And Vicki, as usual, I really would love the listeners to have a sense of who you are and who you are with your Reiki practice. So could you tell us a little story about how you met Reiki?
Sure. Well, as you know, because you were living there at the time, I was living in a small valley in British Columbia, the Slocan Valley, and a number of my friends were talking about this healing art that, well, I guess some had already experienced it, and then I heard that Mrs. Takata was coming to town, and being firmly rooted in skepticism myself, I was not going to go near another thing that just seemed like a, what I told people later seemed like a New Age parlor game, like all the other New Age personal growth things that came through the valley. And as you know, Phyllis, and I'll tell the listeners, I think where we were living was and is a very sacred and beautiful place that attracted people who were seekers, I guess is a good general way to speak of it, but also skeptics like myself that seemed to go kicking and screaming towards my own discoveries of things. But somehow I just kept hearing and hearing about Reiki, and of course I was lucky enough to at least have the good fortune to just see Mrs. Takata down the street when she was there for what was a famous visit. And as you said, Phyllis, in the last few months of her life, and I just remember seeing her in her long dress down the street and walking with other people who I realized later must have been Phyllis as well, who was traveling with her.
Right.
And because Phyllis was related to other, because of your work and also getting connected to Michael Hartley, who was later your partner, who was in my close circle of friends, Reiki came right to my doorstep, so to speak, and I was very fortunate that way. But I have to tell the listeners, too, in case any people are out there who are still just curious about Reiki and don't know much about it, I was still so skeptical that after my friend Danielle LaFond had Reiki for, I think, maybe a year from being initiated by Phyllis, she let me know she was organizing a class for Phyllis and really wished that I could make that. And I said, thanks very much. I won't be there. And she said, well, is it the money that keeps you from doing it? And I, you know, it was the best excuse I guess I had. Although really underneath it, I think I was just still very skeptical and worried that I might be made a fool of this silly thing that people just put their hands on each other and healing happens. So I said, yeah. And she said, well, it's been so important in my life. I want to pay for you to do this class. And I guess it was enough of a wake-up. I just went, well, thank you, and I'll pay for myself, and I'll be there. But had Danielle not offered that or sort of confronted me, I guess, or challenged me with that, and it was all meant in with full open heart, I don't know where I'd be now, because I went to the class of yours, Phyllis, and it was a very powerful, and I guess I have to say, too, a mystical experience, because the initiations were very powerful for me and beyond any concepts I currently had. And the rest of the class was very enjoyable and lovely and expansive, but you know, not life-changing, I didn't think, still. Little did I know. And afterwards, I just, from many things that were shown to me there, like that I couldn't do it wrong and that the more I used it, the stronger and clearer channel I would become. I thought, what's to lose by just using it all the time? And honestly, I think this is a reflection of my state of consciousness at the time, is that I really just saw myself working on other people. I didn't embrace the concept of working on myself. But I did.
I think that's a very common thing to have happen, though.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now, too. Yeah,
yeah.
I know. But it was, was my path, and I was a tree planting cook at the time. I had been a tree planter, but because I was a cook, my time to be with the others in a camp where we go out and people go out and plant trees all day, and they'd come home, and my time to be with others besides a chaotic breakfast where everyone was getting ready to go was in the evening after the food was served. And that's when I shyly started saying, you know, I learned this thing called Reiki, and I'm willing to treat people. And I just had to think back many times on things that Phyllis, you had said about that I couldn't do it wrong, that I couldn't hurt people, and so on and so forth. So I just got enough courage to start. And, I mean, the rest is a very long history because from the start, I started having experiences of not only the healings that went on physically, of course, and also the healings for myself, because, of course, the energy passed through me. I didn't get the common cold that that went through camp, of course, because we were all living in small quarters. My energy was stronger, and I saw lots and lots of healings, especially with the common things we saw at tree planting, which is tendonitis and other kind of strains from repetitive motion. And from there, I went on to later do second degree and work at a clinic. Reiki Master Holly Bigger, who I know you interviewed a few months back, had a practice at that time and had become a Reiki Master, and she was traveling more, and she asked if I could assist in the clinic where she had been working, basically taking over her clients and being available to other new clients.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's just been a very deep, deep, long, rich, tremendously rich journey that I had not a clue about when I stepped into that class. And now the sweet part, to shorten that story at the very end, is that I live in a small community in New Mexico, and now I get to give that same gift to other people because I teach here. And I watch
right.
It's just so fun to watch Reiki grow in other people's lives like it has in mine.
Wonderful story. Thank you. It's a wonderful story, and it's interesting for me that you went from one kind of small mountain community that was very inducive. In fact, I would consider the Spokane Valley to be a very mystical place to be, and to move into New Mexico, which is kind of the other end of the spectrum in rainfall, but it still has this kind of same energy. Interesting. So we'll be back with more of Vicki's story in just a moment after the station break. This is Phyllis Ferramoso with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Vicki Allen. She lives in Silver City, New Mexico. And she was just telling us her story of Reiki. And it's interesting for me when I do these interviews how much... how many memories come up in my own history of Reiki and my own sense when I look back on my life with Reiki and the people that I've connected with in these different places, how this energy or quality of mystic arises in different ways. So, like, just your move from BC and the Spokane Valley to the Silver City area was a whole wonderful story in and of itself. And in doing that, it seemed to me, looking from the outside, that there was some path, some unknown but really clear path that you were following when you did your dance of all the different things that happened in order to get you to where you are now. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
And Reiki has certainly been by my side all the way.
Yeah. But another part of your path, and was there before Reiki, was Gestalt therapy. And I just want to tell the listeners that there was this woman who magically got in touch with Hawaii Otakata and took her first and second degree class and eventually became a master. And her name was Bethel Fay, and she was a Gestalt therapist who had studied with Fritz Perls, the man who originated Gestalt therapy. And she made her home in a little village in this area of the Kootenays in British Columbia. And Vicki was one of the Gestalt community that was there. And there were some pretty amazing things that happened within this community. And one of them was that Bethel really took Reiki into her, she did a lot of group sessions, residential Gestalt sessions, and took Reiki into this and introduced it into this community. Can you remember at all the first time you sort of heard Bethel talk about Reiki?
It feels like it was after I had been exposed to Reiki.
Interesting.
Yeah. And my connection to Bethel was a few years before that, when I was 22 years old, and probably I heard her, I'm not sure how. Anyway, Gestalt was my first connection with Bethel, and then Reiki was apart from Bethel, yeah,
uh-huh.
Through you, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I do, I totally agree with what you're saying. She's someone who just integrated it into her world, her life,
mm-hmm.
her work, and lived it from the time
right.
that she was shown it with Takata.
Mm-hmm. She's another one of the Takata masters that unfortunately didn't live many years after she became a master. And this has been really sad for me because she added so much to our community in her very open and free-flowing way of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you followed up in your study, though, of Gestalt therapy after you moved to Silver City.
Yes. Yeah, I went. I went to an institute that's in Cleveland, and it's, I'm told, the biggest in the world training center in Gestalt, and also they have branches where they go out and teach in Israel and places in Europe where they have schools as well. But their center and their big school is in Cleveland. And as I told people when I started going there, and it really, I have to say, it was my husband's interest to get trained as a Gestalt therapist, because when we got together, he just knew about it, and then he could tell by who I was that Gestalt was a very big influence in my world. Maybe he needed it to become a worthy opponent to me, too, as they say in Aikido.
Right.
To be able to face match your partner. So, and I honestly know that he was interested in doing this work as well. He could see that there were a lot of gifts that strengthened people's clarity and communication and ability to experience things, which, you know, Gestalt is very much into, it's an experiential and experimental form of therapy. So it's very much in the here and now and looks to have people have a true experience of it as opposed to just concepts of things, which is so big in the culture we're all in.
Uh-huh.
We're living more in our head, where Fritz Perls used to say, get out of your head and come to your senses. Lose your mind and come to your senses is what he would say.
And in losing your mind, did you ever come across something, an experience that you could call mystic?
Yes, absolutely. I have to say, I went to therapy out of, again, someone just getting me there, and that was Patty Bossert. I have to say these names because Phyllis is intimately connected to all these people as well in her past. And I was fascinated with the fact that people healed. I watched, no one mentioned that, no one described that, but I was sitting in a circle of women at Peggy Gruen's in Spokane, Washington, my very first group, and it was a women's group, and people did some very deep and painful work that helped them release and own their feelings and move through it and get cleared. As Bethel used to say, the way out, meaning the way out of this pain, is through. And I don't know if she originated that, but it's so true. And for me, a 21-year-old kid that had seen lots of pain in my family and other people, I was amazed that, oh my gosh, you can heal. Like, you can be on the other side of this. I didn't even know that concept. So I was so excited by that. And as I did more of that work, I felt like what the biggest change that happened to me was my spirituality came through. Because once, maybe as part of the hierarchy of needs, I don't know, I'm just thinking of that in this present moment, but once my emotional body or self or whatever was eased by getting clearer and lighter of this baggage I'd been carrying around for most of my life, and not all of it, of course, because you're never done, but I unloaded the big stuff in the early groups, I realized what came through was my deep connection to all life, and realizing that all life, of at least in sentient beings, looks to love and be loved. That there were a lot of simple things that came through that I had never realized before. And Gestalt was that doorway in, and shortly after, and that hooked in and very much was complementary to Reiki, or Reiki was to that as well.
And so what is your definition of mystic?
I've been thinking a lot about this since you proposed this idea. Well, I think of it as the mysterious, as the unknown, and things that have us in wonder and awe, and things that connect us to our intuition, and things that are, again, not easy to hold in form, but maybe are more in the essence realm, and other realities. I think of mystical as brief moments of realizing we we have a connection to something bigger than this reality or other than this reality. Not especially bigger, but just it's a different world.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about other realities, what does that mean to you? Like in the nature of Reiki, for instance,
yes.
Do you feel like we have experiences of other realities?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I'd say it's more subtle than what we'll probably talk about later of plant medicine, other realities, but absolutely Reiki has opened this door for me of the whole vibrational work of connection to myself and to others that's on a level that I hadn't experienced before I came to Reiki or Reiki came to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So can you give me some kind of verbal description of this other reality or a comparison so that I can understand sort of, you know, and place it in my own experience?
Yeah, that's a good question that I think I could spend a lot of time thinking about, but I'll just try to do it in this moment. Well, let's say the shifts that can happen. I think it'd be easier to talk about myself than what I
Definitely.
Think I've seen with other people. But
right.
for myself, to get a Reiki treatment, how about the most simplest and for me the most common experience where I receive a treatment on the table or wherever, and I feel like transported while obviously being in this one stationary position with my body to a realm that feels, first of all, very expansive. Like I often feel as big as the room or bigger in terms of my sense of self. And that's not the big self, but just self as in I am connected to more than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that deep, deep sense of peace and that all is well is not a place I live most of the time. And I go there consistently with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives me a taste of that, which is also, in my opinion, as real as this reality that I create the rest of the time.
Uh-huh.
But I do bring back, I come back from that place of deep peace and in a sense bring it back with me into my life. And granted, it doesn't stay or last for varying amounts of time, but it absolutely informs the rest of my life.
Ooh, I like that.
And the way I
uh-huh.
live.
Uh-huh. Well, I like that phrase that you have of informs the rest of my life. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for another station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with Vicki and more of Mystic Experiences. This is Ellen Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're with Vicki Allen today, and she's from Silver City, New Mexico. And originally having met Reiki in Canada. And we've been speaking about mystic experience in the very fabric, what I could call fabric, of Reiki practice, this going to other realms through hands-on treatment and, for me, in my experience, eventually, through treatment of myself. I used to, So I won't get into that part. So anyway, Vicki, I understand that in your travels with Reiki and in following your life path as you got to Silver City and went into a very deep education with Gestalt therapy and brought that to your own clients, I'm just wondering, then, how did you get involved in going to Peru?
A friend of mine who was here at my house one day talked about, and I really didn't know this woman very well, but someone I was friendly with, but I had known she had had experiences in Peru and had traveled with different shamans doing work with plant medicine called ayahuasca, which is a hallucinogenic combination of plants for the purpose of healing. And while she was here, she said, you know, a few months back, I had gone to Peru and worked with a new shaman in her life that she did a dieta with, which is a time where you live in silence and have a special diet. That's what dieta means in Spanish, and a very desensitization sort of diet. It's not a cleansing diet, but it's one where you become more sensitive to the other things that you're taking, which are other plants besides ayahuasca, for the purpose of healing or personal growth or connection to the spirit world. Or these are non-hallucinogenic plants that you would have in the form of tea. And she lived by herself on this journey, as the other people who came along did as well, in their own little tambos, as they're called. And what caught my curiosity maybe more was she said, you know, the whole 2 weeks I was in the jungle, you were with me a lot, especially when I went on these journeys that were personal journeys with the ayahuasca experiences in ceremony. So that went somewhere in my brain. And then months later, she was by again, and she said, oh, you know, this same shaman is coming to a place in this country. And it was a place that I could travel to in the U.S. And she said, and I'm going to go, and just putting it out if you're interested. And it caught me, I guess. It spoke to me, and I went and had a very powerful experience. So I could see the relevance. You know how it is in hindsight when you look back. I can see how it was calling me on some level through my friend Jane, and then I listened in myself when the call came.
Right. And so do you feel that this takes you into a mystical place, or as you would define it, as far as another realm?
Yeah.
Or another reality?
Yes.
And is it
also the other people that I've had sat in ceremony with, hearing their stories afterwards, too. That's something that I'd say is very consistent in people's experiences.
Uh-huh.
And not always easy. Not always easy journeys, either, I have to
say. Right. So maybe we could basically stick with your experiences. It's easier and, I think, more cleaner, more clean to just be with your experience rather than a generalization. So
okay.
I'm just wondering, do you find that these other realities are what I would call real? Like, okay, so in the beginning you were a skeptic, so of Reiki, and so you eventually took Reiki, being encouraged by your friends, and found that there was a way for you to contact another reality, and would you say another place in yourself, or another perspective of how to be with the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say so, and ayahuasca in particular is seems to be for me and others connected to plant spirit. And the plant spirit is what's described by the shamans as working with us. So so that just needs to be said, I feel like, because that's very much at the heart of the work, is connection to nature, but especially to plant spirit, which, as they say, works with us from the time that we first do this medicine. And I do feel like it continues on some level to have some influence or some way that it touches my life still, because of having been connected to, well, part of it is most of my experiences were in the jungle in Peru, so it's hard not to feel very connected to nature in a place like that, because it's just so alive with life force.
And what I'm trying to find or figure out is if you feel that, you know, you've experienced these other realities, you know, in Reiki, does it have essentially the same substance for you at this point as your Reiki experiences were in the beginning with Reiki? You might have gone, wow, I wonder what that was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, creating more and more substantial experiences, and then is the same thing happening here?
Yes. I'd say that kind of the thread or the theme that goes through all of that is that I get to see that the world that we live in does not exist in some absolute sense, but is just one model of reality. And so when I, through Reiki, was a stepping stone, and also through plant medicine, has shown me that there are many other realities, many, and that what we have here is, some people would say, we constructed by our state of consciousness, I guess you'd say, and it, my sense of experiences from the plant medicine has just shown me that there's many, many other states of being, as Reiki also does.
So coming back to what I would, we might call our constructed reality, is this plant, or is it is the journeying illegal in any way?
Illegal, did you say?
Yeah.
In this country, it is, yes. It's not in Peru and other countries in South America. Yeah, it's been many thousands of years used mm-hmm. in some of these countries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the culture, it's part of the land,
mm-hmm.
the environment, and the
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's part of the people, it's part of the art.
Mm-hmm.
The native people that sell their wares there have beautiful fabrics that are all created from vision, from the plant medicine. And you can
uh-huh.
tell that it's very easy to look at the artwork and see that it's vibrational and visionary work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so anyway, at this point then, in your journey, when you, I appreciate your openness in coming on the show and talking about this, and I realized in writing up your e-card blurb that there was some sensitivity to this kind of aura of illegality, and I'm just wondering how you work with that within yourself and, you know, your own, what we would call personal integrity.
Okay. Sorry?
That's okay.
I know that we have a very ambiguous relationship to substances in this culture. And I think that's an interesting piece that is something that I guess all of us wrestle with, especially being North American, because it's clear we have so many mixed relationships to what drugs are legal and illegal.
Right. Excuse me, Vicki, I need to interrupt you, and we'll get back to the response to this question in a few minutes. We're going to have to take a station break, unfortunately. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Get your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Vicki Allen, and we're speaking about, right now, plant medicine and using plant medicine to go to other realities. And that this is part of Vicki's understanding of this word mystical or mystic. And Vicki was answering this question. I'd like to continue to visit this question of,
you know, in the United States, it's considered illegal to take these kinds of plant medicine. And I'm just wondering how, Vicki, you hold that particular piece with your own personal integrity process of being a Reiki master and, you know, being a teacher.
Yeah. Well, as I started to say before we broke, that I can see in our culture here that we seem to be remarkably ambivalent about drugs and what is legal and what is illegal and how that's come to be. I guess that's some of where I view that, like I said earlier, or I was thinking of, that we seem to be unable to distinguish between what's socially destructive and what sacred uses of drugs are, or in this case, plants, are. I don't know if that answers your question, but I feel like the sacredness of the use of these is very important, is central. Otherwise, it would not hold the connection to spirituality for myself. I just can speak for myself about that. So that it's never abused, or it's actually used, the plant medicine of ayahuasca is used in a treatment center in Peru and has been for many years, that it's connected to all the sciences, and they have a 9-month program where people use ayahuasca once a week as part of clearing their addiction, because they go to these realms where they see where the desire to have abused the substances that they've been addicted to came from, because it's deep inner work that they get to. And they have, interestingly enough, all measurable after 5 years. There's 66% success rate of people being free of their substances after 5 years, which is unheard of success rate compared to anything in this country. So it's interesting. It certainly brings up a lot of questions in many directions. I can appreciate your question.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, you know, I don't know if it really met my question, but I'll paraphrase it a bit. So for you, because of this difference between substance abuse and using plant medicine and in a spiritual and religious, ritualistic way, that it takes it out of the realm of whether it's illegal or legal, and puts it into a realm of your personal choice,
mm-hmm.
and your personal healing.
Exactly, process. Healing feels like the central piece for me. That this work is all of, it has, in my experience, has been all about healing.
Right. So it's important for me to be clear with the listeners and also myself that you're not healing a substance abuse issue. You're healing something else. And what
Absolutely.
Is that?
Absolutely.
What is
yes.
that? What is it that you're dealing with? It?
I'd say my disconnection from the natural world, if I was to put it into one statement.
Uh-huh. And what's the what happens when you're disconnected from the natural world?
I'm lost in thought and my busyness of my life grasping and all the things that I think of as the worst influences that I bring into my life, of just a crazy life.
Uh-huh. So would you say that this is a path that as if you knew that you were healed, what would your life look like?
Good question. Being present.
Being present?
Uh-huh. Being more present all the time. And I can see that there's many levels of being present. So being deeply present under all conditions and circumstances would be my dream.
Uh-huh.
I don't see that as the solution to that is this plant medicine only. I think that's just a path that I seek in my life through all that I do. And Reiki uh-huh. is very much a part of that. Feels like uh-huh. it brings me more present in uh-huh. my practice of Reiki.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, maybe listeners are going, well, whatever happened to this part about mystic experience? So... So I'm just wondering, it seems like that what you're doing is you're using this pathway that we might call mystic experience for your healing.
Yes.
And that's a very interesting perspective. You know, this is something that I don't think I would have predicted this outcome, but I see that it's definitely... Another aspect of mystic experience. Like some people think that we get there in order to, the more mystic experiences we have, the more enlightened we are, the more at peace we are. And perhaps that pathway is healing. But with you in our conversation, it just seems that this is a very practical kind of healing.
Mm-hmm. I think all of these are Gestalt, Reiki, and plant medicine.
Uh-huh.
Come to that juncture together of healing work that is very grounded and practical and in the present moment.
Uh-huh. And somehow has been your mix.
Yes.
Yeah, your mix. So I just also want to, you know, assure the listeners that this is not a program to... encourage use of gestalt or plant medicine, but is really a wonderful mix for Vicki. And I've really appreciated your willingness to be open about it and to talk because I've been reading about ayahuasca and have never experienced it and don't think I will in this lifetime because it's just doesn't seem to be on my path. But I'm also intrigued by the stories that I've heard and by the mystical experiences that people have experienced, or that's what they've related to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So could you give a really short story? Do you have something that will somehow give people a little bit more about this experience of going to another realm with the plant medicine?
I don't know what just came to mind because I didn't know you were going to ask that, but one of my 10 or 11-day trips in the jungle where I was doing ceremony every other night with the plant medicine, I felt like the theme of that whole stretch was appreciating my femininity, and I had never done that before. I didn't realize how much there was to heal about loving being a woman.
Uh-huh.
And that was very healing for me, and there are things that get healed that I didn't know until they come up, that this is the gift.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, that's very interesting, and unfortunately we're just moving out of time, which is too bad.
Yeah.
So I'd love to ask you about 20 more questions, but we don't have time for that. Thank you very much, Vicki.
Thank you
for your sharing. And yes? You were going to say?
Oh, I just said it's been a treat.
Ah, thank you. Well, thank you very much, listeners, and I leave you again with another great interview and another interesting perspective about mystic experience. That is, it is a, and can be and is perhaps another element of the healing path that we are all on. It's not just about fantasy or escaping into another world. It's about being able to live in the world that we have, all of the world, and to integrate them together. So I shall ponder on this particular thought until next week. This is Phyllis Burimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.